for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2013 Spring Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is the Saturday afternoon ladies' meeting, March the 30th, 2013. Jerry McGee is the speaker of this service, teaching on the spirit of insomnia.
And Lord, we just come before your throne. We bind every spirit that would not confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Put your hands on your ears. Lord, I ask for ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart that can understand and turn and be healed. I ask you to dig out, excavate, and irrigate my ears. Lord, I have ears, but you said to him who has ears, let him hear. And I want to hear you, Lord. So I ask you to anoint my ears to hear. I want to be a person, Lord, who has ears to hear. Y'all want to come up close? I won't bite you, and I won't spit on you. And I won't be like some of these false prophets. I won't punch you in the stomach or kick you or knock your teeth out and say, God told me to. Isn't that stupid? Anybody would believe that? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we've been raised to sit with you in heavenly places far above principalities and powers. We take our seat in the heavenly places. We take the Kratos, Dunamis, Exousia power you've given us to bind and loose, the keys to the kingdom, and we bind you, Satan, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, wicked spirits in heavenly places. We bind you in the heavenly places and on this earth. We forbid you to work with, communicate with, make contact with anyone on this earth or in the heavenly places to work divination against us or this camp or things that concern us, our homes, our properties, and everything that concerns us. We declare you're bound. And Lord, we hold up the shield of faith over our life, over this camp, and over everything that concerns us, and over every saint all over this earth, in Jesus' name. When you pray from now on, pray for the saints, because they're all God's people are all over the earth, and there's going to be hard times come, and it's going to affect the whole world. And Lord, we need your wisdom. Amen. Praise the Lord. But God says, fear not and be not dismayed, for I'm your God. If I'm for you, who can be against you? Nobody. Hallelujah. Is that an awesome promise? So we want to make sure that we're on God's side, right? Not that he's on our side, but that we're on his side. And what I want to share is on the spirit of insomnia. And that means, that's the wrong message. Insomnia means inability to obtain sufficient sleep, especially chronic difficulty in falling or staying asleep, sleeplessness. I think one of the biggest causes of not being able to sleep is discontentment, not being satisfied with your life. The scripture says in Proverbs, the fear of the Lord leads to life, so that one may sleep satisfied, untouched by evil. And there's been, and I'm going to read these statistics, an estimated 50 to 70 million Americans suffer from insomnia and other sleep disorders, which can keep them from functioning normally. Sleep disorders can lead to conditions like obesity, diabetes, heart disease, and stroke. And I thought, how does it lead to obesity? One way, I'm sure there's other medical ways, but one way is when I can't eat, when I can't sleep, I go eat, right? I thank God that it's probably only been two or three nights in my whole life I haven't slept. And the enemy wanted to wake me up last night. Sometime during the night, he started making me worry, because I have three mamas that haven't had puppies, and I'm thinking, what if? And you know how I just released that to God? Lord, you know my needs. Lord, I take that to you, and I went right to sleep. It's a choice if I'm going to worry or fret. And I heard Frank say the first night he was here, fretting and worry gets you nowhere. Doesn't do any good. God knows what you need. He knows when you need it and if you need it, when to give it to you. He knows who you need, and it's no use worrying about anything because His time, your times are in His hands. And that's one thing that He's, like a while ago, when Kyle let me out, and I left my message in the back seat of the car. Now, in the past, I'd have fretted about that. Oh, I left my message. Well, God, you must have another plan. The other day when I was teaching in Duncanville, we ate at a restaurant in Duncanville, and I left these reading glasses, and I didn't miss them till I got home. And, of course, I'm 2 hours from Duncanville. And so I just, in the past, I would have just fretted about it. And I said, well, Lord, I called the restaurant, and sure enough, they were there. And instead of fretting about it, I said, Lord, you must have a divine appointment for me up there. Sure enough, when I witnessed to the waiter, I said, God sent me back on a mission. He said, yeah, I'm it. So, there's a reason why God lets everything happen. And a while ago, when I didn't have my message till about 20 minutes till 2, I didn't worry about it because I thought, well, you know what? I'll just read this. If that's it, whatever God wants me to do, He's got it. I'm going to open my mouth wide and He'll fill it. But statistics, adults who take sleeping pills, and I'm going to read this, in even small numbers over their lifetime, may be nearly 4 times more likely to die earlier compared to those who are not prescribed sleeping pills. According to new findings published Monday in the British Medical Journal, and those prescribed sleeping pills may also be more likely to be diagnosed with cancer, the study found. Researchers looked at electronic medical records of nearly 35,000 patients. Fewer than half of them took such FDA-approved sleeping medications as Ambien, Restorol, Lunesta, Sonata. They found that even those who took fewer than 18 sleeping pills a year were at a greater risk of death compared to those who were not prescribed sleeping aids. Now, I don't know if you know this, but for many, many years, cancer was the number one heart disease or cancer. Now, I think cancer was the number one heart disease killer. No, heart disease was the number one killer, and the second killer of people in the United States was cancer. The third and fourth killer of people in the United States is medical mistakes and side effects from medical drugs. The side effects from drugs will absolutely kill you. And as far as I'm concerned, if the Lord's ready for me, I'm out of here. I mean, I have no fear of dying. If God wants me gone tomorrow, that's fine. And I don't have, if somebody tells me I'm going to die tomorrow, well, Lord, you're in charge. I'm not going to run to, by God's grace, I'm not going to run to some man to try to fix me and mess me up worse. I'd rather go out of here in one piece, not as scarred up. Anyway, the skin cancer I've had on my nose as a result of 2 surgeries I had, and one lady said, you better get those off, they'll eat your nose off. So you let fear take over you, and you go to a doctor who is, the one I went to was a quack. It took me a long time to forgive him. It was a pinpoint place about the size of a straight pin, and it should have not taken a scar. He cut a hole in my nose the size of a dry pinto bean. I had to have 8 stitches right across here. That cancer, he didn't even get the cancer. And the other one, I went with a wart on my foot, and I said, what's this on my nose? And before I knew it, he had cut a hole the size of a BB, a different one. I went, ow, what did you do? He said, I just took it off, took this cancer off. And I said, well, will it grow back? He said, well, I wouldn't have cut it off if it had of. Well, it did grow back. So these are slow-growing cancers, and if you'd have left it alone, it probably would have not grown that much between now and the next 30 years. But see, you've got the scar tissue and it comes back. And now you can get stuff to put on there that takes them off. But anyway, so that was a big whipping I got because I knew better. But anyway, everybody's walking a different place, and that's not to condemn you if you're on medication. But if you're on psychiatric medicine to sleep or any kind of sleep medication, I encourage you to get delivered so you don't have the side effects of it. because a lot of those things keep you in a drunken stupor. And God tells you to be sober, because when you're not sober, I mean, we don't have enough sense when we're sober, much less when we're drunked up on drugs. And so ask God to get you delivered, and you'll need it less and less. And I'm not telling you to quit taking anything. That's between you and God. But personally, I wouldn't take some of the things they try to put on me if they told me I was dying tomorrow. It's okay if I die. I'll be with Jesus. And I'm not running around wishing I'd die. But, I mean, I'm not wishing I was dead. That's not a death curse. And, you know, I'm not ready to die, but if God wants me to go, I'm ready to die. I'm ready to meet Him. But I know that there's a calling on my life. And honestly, was it Frank that was talking about a purpose? If you don't have a purpose when you're my age or any age, I mean, you want to sip, insure, and watch satellite TV. You've got to have a purpose to live, which is like a carrot on a stick. And honestly, and I'm not saying this out of pride, but God is just now getting started with me. I know that. I don't feel old. And at 74, I'm on no medication. And I give God the glory. And I'm not on it because of His grace. I don't take any credit for it. I thank God for that. And so, if you're on medicine, it's not to condemn you, but you need to start asking God to get you set free so you can get off of it. And the scripture says, the fear of the Lord leads to life, so that one may sleep satisfied, untouched by evil. Another reason we have a problem sleeping is because when you grew up, bad things happened at night to some of you. And so you had to stay awake to be safe, you thought. And that's another reason that you have a hard time sleeping. Another reason is maybe Daddy molested everybody in the family and you had to be the watchdog over the family. So you stayed awake to keep all the kids safe. Another reason that you have a fear of going to sleep is you didn't grow up with a daddy who protected you. I know that Diane had a daddy like I had. And I don't know, a lot of you might have. But I always felt safe. My daddy was the toughest guy around. He was so much like Glenn Miller, only my daddy was a big guy. He wasn't little like Glenn, but Glenn was about this big, and he was not afraid of nothing. And it just makes me cry when I see Merle Scher, because he reminds me so much of Glenn. I love that. I went up to him. I said, I'm not trying to be perverted, but I want you to know I love you so much. I just could see such humility in him, and he reminds me so much. Glenn could not stand up here without crying, and he cries just like his daddy. Anyway, my heart was touched. He said he knew I wasn't being perverted. He's glad I loved him. And so I always felt protected, and my daddy was always home at night. I can't remember a night in my whole life that my daddy was not home. And so when I get in bed at night, it's almost like I snuggle up, Daddy's here, but I don't look to my earthly father, but God the Father's watching over me. It's like the last thought I have when I go to bed is, oh God, I love you so much. And I wake up, it's the first thought I have, oh God, thank you, thank you, thank you for being so good. But you see, if you didn't grow up nurtured and protected, you're afraid. If you had to be your own protector, you came into a false refuge, and now you read about all the stuff that's going on in the world and it scares you to death because, hey, I have to protect myself. Where's God? God loves you so much. He's not anything like your daddy or like your mother. If your daddy abandoned you, it's hard for you to believe that God's not going to just dump you right in the middle of the one world order. But if we stay in covenant with Him and we hang on to Him, and nobody's perfect. I mean, you're not going to be perfect till you enter eternity. So don't think you're too bad. Just take what junky clay we have and yield it to the potter, and He'll take the junk out. And when you're yielding your life to the potter, nobody can touch you because you're in His hands. And you feel safe. And He'll watch over you. The dictionary definition of contentment means satisfied with what you have, not wanting more, agreeing, being gratified, mentally or emotionally satisfied with things as they are, peace of mind. It means to be satisfied, mental or emotional satisfaction. It means to see to your heart, and God tells us to watch over our heart with all diligence. One another reason why we don't sleep, and I've had many people tell me they didn't sleep, but I'd say, well, you know, in ministering to them, maybe they love to watch horror movies. You see, you're a spiritual garden, and you can plant the good seed of God's word in your heart that'll produce the fruit of righteousness, or you can plant evil seeds in your heart, which is the opposite of the word of God, through movies, through horror movies, through fearful movies. You see, you're planting seeds of fear. One girl I ministered to years ago said, you know, every time I walk across a parking lot, I think somebody's going to get me. I said, did you ever watch a movie like that? Oh, yeah, yeah, they'd get me on a parking lot. So God says in Proverbs 4:2, my son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings, do not let them depart from your sight, keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their body. Watch over your heart with all diligence. From it springs the issues of life. That means watch what you let be planted in your spiritual garden. And one thing I do, and I've done this for since 1990, and it's, is that 23 years? 90? 2000? No. Is it how many years? Anyway, for that long, I've listened to the Word of God when I sleep because I want the seeds of God's Word going into my spiritual garden. And most of the time, I may, when I first get in bed, think, well, I'm not really sleepy, and I just lay there and start listening, and I go right to sleep. And you may not even remember it, but you're planting the seeds of God's Word in your spiritual garden. Now, I know people that's husbands, and I, of course, since I sleep by myself, I don't have that problem, but I have a friend that wants to listen and does listen to the Word of God. In fact, if you've met Rod, that big guy that's here that had his life changed, it's his mother-in-law. Her husband didn't want to hear it, so she got her little earplug, and she listens to the Word of God by plugging it in her ear. And so you can listen to the Word of God because it's a way to meditate. You know, God says if you are diligent to obey the Word of God and meditate on it day and night, that everything you do will be prosperous and everything you do will be a success. So if we hear it, we obey it, we meditate on it, we'll be a success in whatever we do. And so, so it's a way to meditate on the Word of God. Psalms 23 says, or Jesus said, my peace I leave you. And so being dissatisfied is also having a lack of peace. Jesus said, my peace I give you, I leave you. Not as the world give I to you, but my peace I give you. Psalms 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me beside still waters. That's peaceful waters. I shall not want. Well, what about when you can't take the mark? Or you won't take the mark, and you can't buy or sell. God says He leads me beside still waters and green pastures. That's a place you feed. If He's the shepherd, He's feeding the sheep, right? And you won't be eating grass. I don't know what you'll be eating, but it won't be grass. It may not be filet mignons, or it may not be Papado's or P.F. Chang's or some of my favorite restaurants, but you'll have enough. You know, the interesting thing I can remember in earlier years, because I dieted so much of my life, that I tell you, growing up, my mother would try to put me on a diet, and she'd broil me steak and broil me chicken, and oh, I hated broiled meat, and I hated boiled eggs, and you know, I've changed my whole way of eating. I used to eat chicken fried steak 3 or 4 times a week, and chicken fried chicken. My mother had mashed potatoes, and oh, my mother was a great cook. Gravy, mashed potatoes, everything seasoned with bacon grease, which is terrible for your eyes. I don't eat bacon grease anymore. But, I mean, I grew up with, you know, grandparents are wonderful cooks, and my mother was a wonderful cook. In fact, that was my identification of love, is that you cook me a good meal. because that was when Mother and Daddy were together and our family was together, was at mealtime. And so the Lord is my shepherd. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He leads me beside still, peaceful waters. In fact, when I have no peace, it's a curse. So I want you to go to Deuteronomy 28, and I want you to see that the lack of peace is a curse. Deuteronomy 28, I'll have to find the verse. I should have had the verse. I think I can just quote it. In verse 15, it says, because of disobedience to the voice of God and His commandments. So that's the spiritual root to it. It says, and I don't know where it says it, that there will be no resting place for the sole of your feet. But there the Lord will give you a trembling heart. Well, let me read this. 28. The Lord will smite you with madness and with blindness and with bewilderments of heart. And you shall grope at noon as the blind man gropes in darkness. And you shall have... No, that's not it. Sorry. I don't have my... Anyway, it just says there'll be no resting place for the sole of your foot. That's a curse. And so when we live in unrest, that's also a root for insomnia. A person, another way a person can live in unrest is if I grow up and I'm not nurtured and I'm not protected and I'm not watched over, then I become my own refuge and it puts me in a state of unrest. And you say, well, why is unrest a curse? Because Jesus said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and what? I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon your neck and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble, and you shall find rest for your soul, for my burden is light and my load is easy. So if I'm living in a state of unrest, I'm not on the potter's wheel. And you know, you can be on the potter's wheel in a lot of areas, and then maybe in some areas you're not there because you haven't entered God's rest in that area. Wherever you have idolatry, you'll live in unrest. And so it's a curse because if I'm living in a state of unrest, it's really a curse. And if I grew up having to be my own refuge, I can't rest because that's not the resting place. The resting place is on the potter's wheel, which is a picture of presenting your body to God as a living sacrifice. It's a picture of yieldedness. It's a picture of abiding in Christ. It's a picture of walking in the Spirit, because one of the fruits of the Spirit is, another way of saying it is, walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And when you walk in the Spirit, your life will produce love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. So peace is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, my peace I give you. And He said, if you'll take His yoke on your neck, you'll enter His rest, because the clay rests on the potter's wheel. The potter does everything. All the clay does is rest. And so that's just another way of saying walk in the Spirit, present your body to God as a living sacrifice, give up your life that you might find it, deny yourself, take up your cross. All of those things is just a different way of saying get on the potter's wheel. Uh-huh. Thank you, ma'am. 28:65. Yes, verse 65 says, and among those nations you shall find no rest, and there'll be no resting place for the sole of your foot, but there the Lord will give you a trembling heart, failing of eyes. You see, that's an eye problem scripture. And despair of soul. So your life shall hang in doubt before you, and you shall not be in dread night and day, and shall have no assurance of your life. I know people, and you may be, I feel like some of you are, usually I just bring one message, but I brought this message not knowing Patty was going to ask me, but the Lord knew. There's people here that only sleep maybe 2 or 3 hours a night. Another thing, a solution is read the Bible and you'll go to sleep. That's the biggest way to overcome that, because it's the devil tormenting you. And had I stayed awake last night, I would have got up and read the Bible. Sometimes I don't sleep because God's dealing with me. There's another precious lady I know, and she says she's a Christian. Her daddy was a preacher, not anybody here, and she reads novels. You see what she's planning in her heart? You see why she has no peace? There's things God wants to bring her to repentance in, and she doesn't yet see it. She's always telling me how tired she is. And anyway, you have to watch over your heart. I know other people that had to be the watchdog. I know a girl who came out of Satanism. She was satanically ritually abused. And it was nighttime when her daddy and brother and all of them would always rape her at night. So she had to stay awake. And that's another reason why you have to stay awake, is because you got to be on guard. You got to be your watchdog. You can't be peaceful because you don't feel protected. So God tells us to watch over our heart. And so we're to seek, the Bible says, peace is something that I seek peace and I pursue it. It says that in Psalms 34:14. It says, depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. So it's something I should run after. Well, how do I seek it and pursue it? Is that when I lose my peace? I used to have a car my daddy gave me. And it had a gear shift. And if the gear was a little bit off, it would say, system problem. It had the computerized thing, and it would say, system problem. So when I lose my peace, I say, okay, Lord, I got a system problem. So how do I pursue it? I find out why, what's wrong with my system. And I get it right, and then I get my peace back. Okay, another thing that takes away my peace is when I turn back to folly, causes me to lose my peace. Folly is not to walk the way of understanding. Understanding is to walk the way of wisdom. Folly is the opposite, to walk the way of a fool. And it says in Psalms 85:8, this is basically just a word study. And so, I will hear what the Lord will say, for he will speak peace to his people, to his godly ones, but let them not turn back to folly. Don't let them get back in sin. Does that mean we're going to be sinless perfection? No. But we're going to sin less and less. The more layers of the onion we peel off through repentance and deliverance, the more peace we have. The more deliverance you get, the more of the glory of God is going to shine through your life. Hallelujah. I was just telling Carla, I don't know if y'all noticed, when she was standing up here, she looked so beautiful. Her skin looked so pretty. Her hair looked so pretty. And I was just saying, you know, when the glory of God is in your life, it's reflected in your face. Some people think they can walk around looking like they swallowed a curtain rod and people won't know what's wrong with them. But I'm encouraged. Those kind of people are cleaning me up. We all know people like that. And I was at a funeral the other day, and this minister said this. He said, if the joy of the Lord is your strength, how about telling your face about it? Because it shows in your face. God wants to put joy in your heart. I think Frank is so fun. We've talked about him so much, but he's fun. Crazy, but fun. No, I'm just teasing. You know, somebody else said to me, you know, I think it was Rose. She said, you know, we always judge these ministers for knocking people down, and Frank just knocked him down. He knocked me down. and then he just said, I'm going to trip that one. He wasn't trying to hide it. He knocked you down or tripped you to get you to fall. But he was being honest. But anyway, God was working. I'm not minimizing what the Lord was doing. Well, I don't know if it was the Spirit or I got pushed. I don't know. It doesn't matter. The laying on of hands, there was an anointing to be laying on of hands. I was sharing with some of the ladies. Maybe y'all heard me. I haven't been able to read that sign in a long time. It just all ran together. Last night, I mean, you know, I can squinch my eyes and make, but last night, you know, I could finally make out what it said, you know, and that's an improvement. So thank the Lord. Now that I finally, it's dawned on me that this eye problem is a demon. It's going to take a hike in Jesus' name. When God gets through teaching me what he wants to teach me, he's teaching me a lot about eyes. To help people. You know, sometimes he gives you a problem so you'll investigate it for what you'll learn. Amen? And so loving God's law gives you great peace. It says in Psalms 119:165, those who love your law have great peace and nothing causes them to stumble. Some of the people I know, and not anybody in this room, but I know people that can't sleep because they got an antichrist spirit. when you try to correct them and they won't take correction. You try to correct them and they say, yeah, but that's, I don't believe that. That this is what I believe anyway. But God wants us to pray for those people and be mature and quit taking it personal, because we see the fruit of it in our lives is that God uses it to clean us up. And then another cause of us not having peace is living with those who are not peaceful people. You ever lived with somebody that was full of strife, and maybe you live with that person now? Or maybe you're the person that's full of strife. God doesn't want us to be a continuous dripping or contentious. Being on the path of wisdom is a pleasant, peaceful path. Proverbs 3:17 says, all the ways of wisdom are pleasant ways, and all her paths are paths of peace. So if I lose my peace, I'm not walking in wisdom some way, because God says the path of wisdom is a pleasant, and it's the path of peace. My neighbor, when my son was dying with AIDS and my husband was taken off, he left me 3 times in 10 years, and 2 of those times was when Todd was dying. And my neighbor said, Jerry, you just have the worst problems. You just have so many problems. And I said, I thought, well, God, maybe I'm just crazy. Maybe I have a peace. Maybe something's wrong with me. Maybe I'm not seeing something. So I went up to Maine to visit Kyle, and I was reading to my granddaughters, and I was reading that scripture, and it says, all the ways of wisdom are pleasant, and all her paths are paths of peace. And I think, here my son's dying of AIDS, and I'm on a pleasant path when there's AIDS germs everywhere, because I saw that as God's appointed time to save him. And he's in heaven now, and I praise the Lord he's in heaven. He's with Jesus. And I don't have to be concerned that he's carrying on a homosexual relationship anymore. If you want to see his testimony, go to youtube.com and type in Todd's, T-O-D-D, apostrophe S, greatest regret. And you'll see his testimony made 13 days before he died. Somebody said, well, Todd, if you could live or die. In fact, do you remember that guy near, I can't remember the town, near Fort Worth? It was in Fort Worth that supposedly killed his wife's daughter or something, meant for her. What was his name? But anyway, he came all the way from Grapevine to minister to Todd. And he asked Todd one day, Todd, if you could live or die, what would you choose? And Todd said, I'd choose to go be with Jesus. And he said, well, what if God wanted you to live? And Todd said, well, I would live. But he was ready to meet the Lord. Yes. That testimony, that Todd's greatest regret, made the Houston Chronicle 2 years after he died. The homosexuals in Houston got a hold of that, showed that video in the homosexual metropolitan church. It was like the devil shot himself in the foot. They were trying to say that Joyce Green and I perverted his mind and brainwashed him to make that. But he wanted to make that video. And they said, well, if you had any... Todd, what is your greatest regret? Joyce asked him one day, and he said that I didn't listen to my mom and dad. What is your favorite scripture, Todd? Before I was afflicted, I went astray. It was good that I was afflicted, because now I keep his word. Huh? That's from Psalms. See, God uses our problems to correct us if we're wise enough to be corrected. Now, if you're not wise enough to let him correct you, you'll be a bitter old person. Mm-hmm. The Lord told me in 1982, his life led me to be in the Word of God. I mean, I spent great time in the Word of God, and God spoke to me so much through His Word. But I read a passage one day that says, I'm gonna snatch you from your tent and remove you from the land of the living. I thought, Lord, are you fixing to let something happen to Todd? And the Lord told me that he would be serving the Lord by the time he was 25 years old. And I assumed he'd be alive. So when he got AIDS, actually I was glad. Praise God, he's gonna be a mighty evangelist. And when I realized that he really was going to die, because I thought I missed God. It's why I cried and 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 I cried for 2 weeks solid, just about day and night. Because I thought that I had heard God was going to make him a great servant of the Lord, and now he's going to die. So how did I miss hearing God when I was so sure that's what God told me? But the Lord never said he was going to live. But you know how he was used in my life? Had I not had him, I wouldn't have had the prayer life that I had. Had I not had a son for 20 years, I mean, I was in the Word of God praying for him. And that's how he's been used in my life more than any other thing. And so I tell you, he is. And you know, now he's going worldwide over YouTube. And anyway, the homosexuals in Houston threw such a fit over that video that they got it off of. It was being shown on cable access TV in Houston for years, and they got so mad, ACT UP, they got it off there. And I don't know where it's at now, where it's being shown, but it's on YouTube, and that blesses me. Okay, another thing that takes away our peace is when the government has been misplaced on our shoulder. The Bible says the government is on his shoulders. And so if I grew up as a little child and I had to take the burdens and I had to take care of mama and daddy and I had to do all the babysitting and all the cooking and I had to be the mommy and I had to be the daddy, I'm a very efficient person, but I don't rest, you see, because the government has been put on my shoulders. And so for me to get released, I have to take it off my shoulders and put it on God's shoulders, where it says in Isaiah 9:6, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace." Glory, hallelujah. So if you're that little child that grew up having to be the mommy and the daddy, then take the government off your shoulders, the burden. I mean, you can't see the burden, but it's there. The weight of the world's on your shoulders. And put it where it belongs, on Jesus' shoulders. And then a mind stayed upon him assures peace. It says, God says, "I will keep you in perfect peace when your mind is stayed upon me because you're trusting in me." And then wickedness in my bloodline hinders me from peace. And be repenting over these things because we're going to pray in a minute. Isaiah 48:22, there's no peace for the wicked. In fact, there's a scripture that says the hope of the wicked is to breathe their last. A lot of people with a wicked bloodline commit suicide. There was a man in Lindale who got in trouble, and he was very influential in Lindale, and he killed himself because he had had a party. He had agreed to have a party at his house, and he was drinking too much, and he was claiming to be a Christian. And his girlfriend went home, and one of the girls at the party put the moves on him. And he didn't molest her, but she accused him of it. And so he had the fear of being found out. And I think there's probably more to the story than was told. But he hung himself. And in his bloodline, he was a layman. And going all the way back to the house of Rothschild, the family, the Lehman family, the Lehman brothers, are Rothschilds. And see, there's the only hope a wicked person has is to breathe their last, so he killed himself. Mm-hmm. That's right. And of course, the old house of Rothschild is behind the One World Order and all the international bankers, all tied in with the house of Rothschild. The people behind the One World Order, the people that control the president, Republican and Democrat, and all the Congress, they buy them all out, pay them all off, and that's why nothing ever changes. I get so tired of hearing all the information about what somebody did next. I mean, it's revolting. They don't do nothing about nothing. But God, we thank you that we serve you. You're the King of Kings. And thank you that we will stand before Goliath and say, "Shut your mouth." Because we come in the name of the Commander-in-Chief of all the armies of heaven, and we take the sword of the Spirit and we cut your head off in Jesus' name. We're going to have to do some warfare. Amen? And so if they take your guns, hey, we don't fight with guns and bullets anyway. That'll get you killed. Amen. And he's behind it. Right. And see, that wickedness in the bloodline causes them to be driven. I liked what Carla was talking about, the different generations. You know, there's me, And then there's my mother and daddy, and then there's theirs. And you young girls who've never married, don't marry a lukewarm Christian. And don't believe them if they tell you they're a Christian. Make sure that you see the fruit of it. Because they'll tell you anything till they get you married. And then you listen. It's no fun being married to somebody unequally yoked. Oh my goodness. Walking in an upright way guarantees my peace. Isaiah 57:2. He enters into peace. They rest in their beds, each one who walked in his upright way. And that was the scripture I was trying to think of when we were praying for you this morning. That there's no rest on their bed. And it could be the generations not walking in an upright way, not being able to get in bed and rest, or it could be things I've done. And then being troubled and fearful of heart is a guarantee I lose my peace. You can't get God's peace through worldly methods, through pills, through alcohol, through some people just wear earphones all the time trying to drown out getting before God and being quiet. The girl that I used to minister to that came out of Satanism, she was hearing voices all the time. So the only thing that could help her till she got totally delivered was she would listen to praise music to try to drown out the voice of the enemy. Praise God, today she doesn't hear voices. Okay, because Jesus overcame the world, we can have peace. John 16:33. These things I've spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He has overcome the one world order. He has overcome the world. He's overcome the lying politicians. And I'm not mad at them anymore, I don't think. Lord, I forgive them. And when we lack the fear of God by turning aside to filthy cursing mouths, we do not know the paths of peace. Romans 3:12. All have turned aside together. They have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongues they keep deceiving. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their paths, and the path of peace they have not known. There's no fear of God before their eyes. You see, if I fear God, I don't fear anything else. But if I fear everything else, if I don't fear God, I will fear everything else. And whatever you fear is an idol. The name of it is whatever it is. If you fear rejection, your idol is I can't be rejected. If you fear not being loved, your idol is I can't be loved. If you fear being alone, your idol is I can't be alone. And of course, it all goes back to being provoked to anger as a child. Letting the sun go down on your anger, you turn to a false god and to protect your heart instead of turning to God. And letting the sun go down on your anger brings bondage in whatever area you let the sun go down on it. And every area your parents violate the law of God in training you up, you have an automatic anger issue because it says, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So if I have an issue with my mother and father and they violate the word of God in training me up, and I don't say, Lord, I forgive them by sundown, and I deal with my pain and my unforgiveness at the foot of the cross, I may just turn to a promise when I get out of this house, life's going to be different. Well, can I tell you, it won't be different because in the areas you dishonor your mother and father, life doesn't go well. So wherever you could, stop right now, wherever your life is not going well, it goes back to dishonoring your mother and father. You say, well, they didn't deserve to be honored. Well, God didn't ask us that question. He just said, you honor them. And so many times we think honor is putting up on a pedestal, but it's to forgive them by sundown for their poor stewardship. It means to not forgive them. And of course, you have to honor the position. It doesn't mean you have to support their drug habit. It doesn't mean you have to live with them. But if you, one of the things of honoring your parents, no matter how bad they are, unless they're satanic, is see that they have food and that they have shelter. And not neglect them in their old age. To love them, but you don't have to fellowship with them. You see what I'm saying? But you do what's right, and if they need food, you don't let them go hungry. Some of you have been like me, you've lost your mom and dad. You just wish they were here for you to give them a hug. Doing evil brings tribulation and distress. Romans 2:9. There'll be tribulation and distress for every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also the Greek. Doing good grants the glory and honor and peace. Romans 2:10. But glory and honor and peace to everyone who does good, to the Jew first and then to the Greek. When we don't forgive, we lose our peace. Romans 12:18. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men and women. The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but it's joy in the Holy Ghost. Romans 14:17. Peace is something that must be pursued. Romans 14:19. Unbelief robs me of hope, joy, and peace. Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in believing so that you will abound in hope and the power of the Holy Spirit. And peace is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, Galatians 5:22. Peace is a part of the armor of God. You know, if you read the Bible, especially in Jeremiah, I believe it's Jeremiah 3. I covered it when we didn't read it, but I think it's Jeremiah 2 or 3, where it talked about the church that was in idolatry. We're like a camel traversing in the wilderness, or like a wild ass. It talked about their feet were unshod. And it says part of the armor is to shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. It means walk in peace. And so if we're not walking in peace, our feet are unshod. And we don't have on God's armor. And we need God's armor in the days we're living in. It tells us to put on the armor of God, but it tells us also to put on the armor of light, which is also the same thing as the armor of God. Anxiety will cause peace to vanish. Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasseth all knowledge, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. And we're to dwell on pure thoughts. It says in Philippians, whatsoever things are pure and lovely and of good report, we're to think on these things. Whatever is excellent, if there's anything worthy of praise, we're to think on these things. And then Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. I think there's one translation that says, let it be your umpire. Let it be your guide. And of course, there can be a false peace. You can sin so long that your heart's so hard and you have a false peace. But God gives us the peace that passeth all understanding when we walk uprightly before Him. And when you don't have peace in an area, say, okay, Lord, why do I not have peace? Making peace, sowing seeds of peace. James 3:18, and the seed whose fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. And then it tells you that the wisdom from above is first pure, peaceable, full of mercy, good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And then having the knowledge of God multiplies my peace. 2 Peter 1:2, grace and peace be multiplied to you. And then be diligent to be repented and confessed of, 2 Peter 3:14. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found in Him in peace, spotless and blameless. And that's how I want Jesus to find me. I won't be perfect till He snatches me into heaven. But I want to be found as much as I know how, being prayed up and confessed up. And we can have peace even when God removes it from the earth. Did you know that God's going to take all peace from this earth? And I think it seems like He's already has done that. The only place of peace is walking in covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ and not compromising and being like Phineas, who had got a perpetual, without ending, peace upon him and his children. Perpetual means throughout eternity. His bloodline had peace throughout eternity. But when we compromise and enable people, we won't have that covenant of peace. And so we can have peace even when God removes it from the whole earth. Revelation 6:4. And another, a red horse, went out, and to him who sat on it, it was granted to take peace from the earth, and that men would slay one another, and a great sword was given to him. And so other things, so there's some other things that these are scriptures on peace. But not believing God's going to keep you safe. And that comes in through not being kept safe by your mother and dad, because parents model for us a picture of what God's like. Whatever your parents did that was negative, God is not like your dad and mom. Psalms 121:1 says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence comes my help. That's another root to eye problems, not lifting your eyes to the hills from where comes your hope. And then failure to make a place for him in my spiritual temple. Psalms 132:4. I'll not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find a place for the Lord, an habitation for the mighty God of Jacob. And of course, I'm a spiritual temple. And so if I haven't made him the Lord and the ruler over my life, I'm not going to have any peace. Another area is rebellion to God, lack of discipline from mom and dad, my own rebellion to my parents. Another one is judging my parents for being poor role models. I'm judging them. I'm judging God like I judge them. If they didn't take care of me, then God's not going to take care of me either. But that's a lie. If I get on the potter's wheel, everything else is up to him. And then I don't have to fret about anything because he's scheduled. I love this scripture. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. That gives me tremendous peace in the days we're living in. I mean, I don't want to go into a concentration camp. I don't want to go in bad places. But God said, but if I'm ever put those places, hey, I'm an ambassador of Christ. I'm there for God's purpose. I'm there to win the lost into the kingdom of God. I pray that never happens to anybody. And I love the scripture in Revelation that says that the beast is going to make war with a harlot and eat her flesh. A harlot is somebody that is a believer, but their heart's going, they're double-minded, they're lukewarm, they're living in sin, they're shacking up, they're doing things they know they shouldn't do. And as Kyle said, time is running out. It's time to quit playing games. It's time to get our hearts right with the Lord. Being a person who's been wicked and associated himself with wicked people. Enter not into the path of the wicked, Proverbs 4:14 says, and go not in the way of evil men, and avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not except they have done mischief. In other words, they can't sleep until they do mischief. And that could be a generational curse. Your forefathers couldn't sleep till they did evil. So that's, you were born, was it Carla that said little babies are born full of demons? We should have done some deliverance, but we didn't know. God says, my people perish for the lack of knowledge. Being responsible for another's debt, Proverbs 6 says, you're snared with the words of your mouth. You're taken with the words of your mouth. It says, do not give sleep to your eyes nor slumber to your eyelids till you deliver yourself from this being a surety or responsible for another person's debt. And then not keeping the commandments of the Father, Proverbs 6:20. You say, well, who could keep the commandments of a drunk daddy all the time? Or a couch potato daddy? Or a daddy who let my mother abuse me? Who never instructed me? Who never guided me? Who never directed me? God is not like your earthly parents. You know, we have to deal with childhood issues because that's the thing that blocks how we see God. And there's, if you go on my website, and you might find it here, there's a free CD to listen to called Why We Faint. Some of you have heard it, but if you haven't, we faint because we see God the way we saw our earthly parent. Well, you need to repent because you're making an idol out of them. And see, it might have been because you were looking for a daddy, and you were looking for somebody to guide you because probably you grew up and nobody was there to lead you or guide you. You know, a kid that grows up with no instruction, no leadership, no guidance, and they start looking for somebody to tell them something, what to do. And they get the wrong person sometime. Yeah. Well, we look for love in the wrong places. God is love, and he, you know, you can have a husband that loves you, but let me tell you something, it's only God that loves you perfectly. No human can meet your needs. And I know. We know a lot of things, hindsight, that we're too stupid when we're younger. But anyway, okay, trying to build one's own kingdom, having selfish ambition. People who work hard, sleep well, whether they eat little or much. Ecclesiastes 5:12 says, but the rich seldom get a good night's sleep. The Bible says that selfish ambition is earthly, natural, and demonic. And can sleep in peace of unpredictableness. I love this scripture in Ezekiel 34:25, because the wilderness is coming. God says in Ezekiel 34:25, I'll make a covenant of peace with them and eliminate harmful beasts. That's a picture of the powers of darkness or the enemy from the land, so that they may live securely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. We may have to sleep in the woods. That's a place of unpredictableness. But God says, I'll give you a covenant of peace, and you can even sleep in the wilderness or in the jungle and be safe. Hallelujah. And I'm going to try to wrap this up pretty quick because we need more rest. Okay, so being agitated and angry takes away my peace. That's in Daniel 2:1. My husband used to get mad at me, and he'd stay mad, and I could hear him breathing when I was trying to sleep. Anybody ever experienced that wonderful experience? Maybe you've been that kind of a person. If you have, we just need to grow up and quit, lay down our idols. Going to bed fearful that we may not sleep. You know, I'm afraid if I go to bed, I won't go to sleep. How many of us have been fearful about that? Becoming frustrated when we can't sleep. Worrying how this lack of sleep is going to affect me tomorrow. Sometimes I go to bed at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I think, now how am I going to feel in the morning? I went to bed at 3 o'clock a few days ago because I was working on my income tax. And my first thought was, boy, you're going to be wiped out the next day. And do you know what? I actually was not even hardly tired that day. Of course, I went without food a lot of the day, too, because when I eat a lot of food, I'm not motivated to do my income tax. Okay, some helpful attitudes about sleep. Be prepared to stay awake for as long as the Lord wants you to. Trust that to Him. Get on the potter's wheel. Be content to stay awake all night instead of getting frustrated. Just decide to make it profitable and read the Word. We've already talked about that. A glass of warm milk. Eat a bowl of cereal. A few times I've gotten in bed and I think, I'm really not sleepy. I get up and eat a banana and drink some milk and I'm out in 5 minutes. Bananas. In fact, bananas, milk, almonds, those are three things. I think there's about five things that help you sleep, and those are three of them. And then exercising regularly. Sometimes we don't do enough exercise or don't work enough. Cut out the caffeine after a certain hour. You know, if you're drinking caffeine at 12 o'clock, don't expect to go to sleep. Melatonin. You know what? God doesn't want us to take nothing. He wants us to take a gospel. I know, and it makes you, it does. Listening to soothing worship and not the rock kind of band, the rock band. Oh, mercy. That'd drive you up the wall. It'd drive me up the wall. In fact, a lot of the music they call worship, I can't stand it. Play the Word of God. Okay, some things that hinder sleep, a defiled conscience. God's dealing with you about something. Repent of everything. Not having a clear conscience. Scary movies, pornography, novels, books. I'll put you under a covenant of death. Generational iniquities of the forefathers. I'm finding out now. I mean, I knew that when I was growing up, but my mother only slept about 3 hours a night. I never paid any attention to when I was growing up because she was a good mother. So in my own selfishness of my own life, I never considered how she must feel. Being sexually abused as a child, satanic rituals, being born under the wrong refuge. You know, God says, He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God will abide in the shadow and protection of the Almighty. You picture God's refuge like a big umbrella, or like here. Most of us were born out here. And this is where the arrows fly by day. God says, if we dwell in the secret place of the Most High God, we'll abide under the shadow and protection of the Almighty. So if you had mother and daddies that were out of it and didn't know the Lord, were not protective, weren't under God's shadow, then you were just born out there. and you were out there vulnerable to the enemy's attack. But God wants you to come back under this through submission. And this is also a picture of being on the potter's wheel, because you're coming under. In fact, abiding in Christ means to stay under authority, but it also means to obey. And when I'm talking about the potter's wheel, I don't like to say obey. Even all those other things mean obey. Because if you hear the word obey and you don't hear yield, surrender, give up, lay down, deny, then you think, oh boy, I got to turn that potter's wheel myself, and that puts me into legalism. I got to do it myself. And all of those words mean obey, but it's kind of like this. If I'm arrested, if some of you probably have been arrested, I never have, and I hope to God I never am. But if you're arrested, what do you do? They say, put your hands on your head, so you do this. What do you do when you're arrested? You obey, right? So yield, if you're yielding, you're obeying. But it's not an act of you doing anything except what you're told to do. Does that make sense? Anyway, so if you were born outside of God's refuge, then you need to come under God's refuge. If you were your own protector as a child, and I've already said this, then you need to lay down that idol of being your own God, your own protector, your own refuge. And then if bad things happen to you at night, you need to forgive whoever did bad things and your mother and daddy for not protecting you. Okay, so does anybody want to share anything before we... If anybody has a question, then there'll be somebody in here that can answer it if I can't. And you know, I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to like me for telling this. Shoot the TV. Get rid of it. Throw it away. You're being programmed by homosexuals and by the one world order, and your little kids are being defiled by it. Get rid of it. The only time I turn it on every fall to watch my new grandson play for the Buffalo Bills. In fact, I have a TV that's about like this, and I have to pull it really close. And since I didn't turn it on until from last year, I had to call DirecTV and ask them how to turn the thing on. Yes, ma'am. Clean your house up. Get rid of stuff in your house. Get rid of videos. Get rid of that stuff, because let me tell you something. If you've got children you're praying for, compromise. They're being programmed by the one world order right now. They are. And you are too. We believe the new. The saints of God, like Frank said, we're wimps because we've been watching TV and listening to all the stuff they're putting out over the internet. And I can tell you it's being generated by the one world order. Because the only way Satan can get you is to put you into fear. Because when you lose your knowledge of what your authority is in Christ Jesus, he's got you. And what we're doing is, oh, I hope they don't do this. Oh, I hope they don't do this. You know what? We have to be resolved that whatever they do, God is our refuge. And he says if you walk the highway of holiness, no lion, no fool, no unclean can walk that way. No Muslim, no... You don't have to worry about Islam. That is being generated by the one world order to make people afraid of the Muslims. There's really a lot of nice Muslims. And there's evil Muslims like there's evil everybody. They are. Their religion is messed up, but a lot of them have a heart for the Lord. But there's radical ones, but they're part of the one world order, just like the one world order generated fear over in the 1960s about they started the racial thing. They started it all. And I think they were honestly behind 9-1-1. When I hear about some prophet giving me a prophecy about 9-1-1, I'm thinking, brother, you didn't even hear God. I know y'all might think I'm crazy, but I can tell you, I don't believe any of it. The only thing I believe, if there was a 7-Eleven that was robbed last night, or somebody got murdered downtown Tyler or Lindale, I'd believe that. But the world news is all propaganda. Anyway, we need to repent so we can get in God's refuge. If your ways, oh goodness, the scripture is so awesome. If your ways please the Lord, it makes even his enemies to be at peace with you. We worship false gods and we'll get plundered. That's what the word says. So stand up and ask the Lord to show you. Lord, we want to walk in your covenant of peace. And we ask you to show us what we need to do to line up to have your peace, so we'll have the fear of the Lord that leads to life, so that we might sleep satisfied, untouched by evil. Oh, search our heart, O God. Test our thoughts. Show us everything, Lord, that makes you sad, not just today, but every day we live. We want to line up with you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Search my heart, O God. Just repent of everything the Lord shows you, and then sit down when you're through, and then we'll pray. If any of those situations happened to you as a child, which has kept you from sleeping, of how you grew up, forgive your mother and daddy for all those situations of why you didn't grow up feeling safe. And let me say, there's tremendous fear coming down on African Americans because of all the torture and horror that happened to their forefathers in slavery. And as white Americans, Lord, we take accountability and we ask you, brothers and sisters, to forgive us for what people in America did to hurt your forefathers. Yes. Even those of you who have Indian ancestry, your land, your forefathers' land was taken from your home, would cause you to lose your peace. Are you contented? Are you satisfied with your life? Are you satisfied with where you are? The Bible says godliness is great gain when accompanied by contentment. There's a time in my life when I wasn't contented. When I'd read that scripture, I'd think, I'm not contented. How can I teach the people how to be contented when I'm not contented? But I can tell you, God's contented. But I didn't always be. So God will bring you into contentment. Thank you, Lord. Were you the watchdog of your family? Did you have to be the watchdog? Go into your own false refuge. Had to be your own refuge. No one to protect you. But you do have somebody to protect you. And it's called the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Commander-in-Chief of all the armies of heaven. Glory to your name, Lord. Glory to your name. There to my heart is the blood of blood. Glory to your name. Lord, in Jesus' name, forgive me for idolatry. I forgive my mother and father that I had to be the watchdog to keep everybody safe. I had to be my own refuge, and I didn't know how to be. I was just a little girl. I didn't know how to take care of myself, but they didn't take care of me, so I didn't know what else to do. And Lord, I forgive them that when I would try to go to sleep, that's when everybody always hurt me. That's when I was molested or raped, or so I had to stay awake. I vowed, I break the vows, I'll stay awake. I break the vows. And Lord, I renounce wicked bloodline, wicked forefathers. The wickedness that's come down the bloodline, which has caused me to have no peace, not be satisfied, not be content. Lord, I've not been satisfied. I've not been contented. I've not watched over my heart. Lord, I just sit in front of a TV. I sit in front of movies. I contaminate myself day after day after day, listening to the words of the enemy coming across the TV. Forgive me for not watching over my heart. God, forgive me for not pursuing peace and seeking peace. Forgive me for turning back to folly, Lord. Forgive me for not loving your Lord, your law. God, forgive me for rebellion and disobedience to your voice and your commandments, which would cause me to find there be no resting place, for me to have no rest. Lord, I bring my junky clay full of junk, and I yield it to you. I present it to you. You are the potter. Forgive me for trying to fix myself. Lord, I haven't had any peace because I thought I had to do it. And Lord, thank you that you knew I couldn't do it. That's why you said, come to me when I'm labored and heavy laden, and you'll give me rest. Forgive me for not walking the path of wisdom. I forgive my parents for putting the government on my shoulders. Lord, I take the government. I want you to reach up. I take the government off my shoulders, and I put it on your shoulders, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Forgive me for not walking in an upright way. I renounce the wickedness that's been in my bloodline. Forgive me for being wicked. Lord, forgive me for not being like Phinehas, where you'd give me a covenant of peace. I make a new covenant with you today, Lord. canceling every satanic vow, oath, and covenant of Freemasonry, of Satanism, of witchcraft in my bloodline. I break it in the name of Jesus, and I renounce it in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, Lord, forgive me for having a troubled and a fearful heart. And I want to make a choice today to choose not to fret, to be anxious for nothing, to think on things that are pure, lovely, and of a good report. And I rebuke the demons of anxiety and worry off my life. I rebuke the spirit of fear, and I command you, not in my name, but in the name of Jesus, to leave me now. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Lord, forgive me for fearing everything else and not fearing you. Let me explain about the true fear of the Lord. If I grew up with parents that made me afraid, and so if you grew up with fearful parents that made you afraid, Lord, I forgive those parents that made me afraid, that opened me up to a demonic fear of God. I want the true fear of God that causes me to run into your arms and jump into your lap. And Lord, I do that in Jesus' name. And Lord, forgive me for doing evil. God, forgive me in the name of Jesus for holding unforgiveness toward mother, father, and other people. Not pursuing peace. God, in the name of Jesus, forgive me for unbelief and doubt that has robbed me of hope. Forgive me for spiritual adultery that has caused my feet to be unshod. Lord, I now shod my feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. God, forgive me for not dying to my life so that my life could produce love, joy, peace, and all the fruit of your spirit. God, in the name of Jesus, forgive me for anxiety. Lord, I let go of my life. I give up my life that I might find it. Forgive me for not being a peacemaker. Forgive me for being a peacekeeper. Just don't get mad at me. I'll do whatever you say. Forgive me for that false peace. Forgive me for not believing, Lord, that you won't keep me safe. I forgive my mother and father for not keeping me safe, for not protecting me. Lord, forgive me for not lifting up my eyes to the hills, because it's from you that I receive help. Forgive me for not making a place for you in my spiritual temple and making you the Lord and Master of my life. Forgive me for rebellion, lack of discipline. I forgive my mother and father for not disciplining me and not correcting me, not leading me, not guiding me, not protecting me, not watching over me, not wanting me, abandoning me, failing me, forsaking me. God, you will never leave me or fail me or forsake me. In the name of Jesus. Forgive me for wickedness. I forgive my parents for not nurturing me, for that I never felt safe. God, forgive me for walking the path of wickedness. Forgive me for being a stumbling block, being a surety for somebody else's debt, not keeping the commandments of God the Father. Forgive me for trying to build my own kingdom instead of working for your kingdom. You know, there's something the Lord's showing me about here. Nobody's got all the light. And everybody, even in the morning prayer group, I always encourage you, when I tell people to come to Lake Hamilton, I said, go to every prayer team and let different teams pray for you, because we all have a different, we'll all have a different insight. And then you can go to Diane and Tom or somebody else and get a total different deliverance, because they'll have a perspective that I don't have. And it's encouraging. I was so glad to see Rod let Diane and Tom pray for him this morning. He got so much deliverance. I tell you that. You know what blessed me last night? Is that man has not hardly been able to stand, has not worked for 3 years. His legs have been numb, no feeling, because he's been trusting his flesh. But watching him last night help people when they fell down, him laying them down, it caused me to see such a heart in him to help. You see what I'm saying? And he can barely stand up himself. God's just done a mighty work. I told him, you come next year, you won't even know yourself. And I tell you that. I tell me that. We were praying, Merle was casting demons out of this sweet sister today, and I was getting delivered. I was yelling, I said, oh, I got delivered. He said, yes, I know that. I'm going to get a hold of you again, Jerry. But you know what? I'm going to go home different. Oh, That's good. I don't know what came off me, but yeah, that's right. That's right. Amen. Anyway, this is a great camp to get free in. And most places you go today, you're going to get demons. Somebody said, can you think of a church anywhere? One of you asked me in my city. I can't, honestly, if my son was not my pastor, I don't know one in East Texas that I would recommend. I don't know one in Dallas, Texas. I don't know one in Fort Worth, Texas I would believe that was teaching the Word of God. Not that we have all the light. You know, we don't. In fact, I started the church in 1990 because I couldn't find a church that was teaching the Word in 1990. So I started the church knowing that Kyle was going to be the pastor one of those days. Took him about 5 years to take the job. Anyway, praise God. And you know, everything we go through just increases the anointing on our life. Okay, thank you, Lord. I ask for this covenant of peace. I make a new covenant of you, with you, Lord. A covenant of peace that says I can sleep in the wilderness and not be afraid. I can sleep out next to a freeway and be safe, or sleep under a bridge and be safe. Forgive me for being agitated and angry and all the times I've let the sun go down on my anger. Forgive me for being afraid that I won't go to sleep, afraid that if I miss sleep, how I'm going to feel. Forgive me for being frustrated, boiling over with rage, and being frustrated when I can't sleep. And so, Lord, forgive me for not just reading your word. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Lord, I take accountability. Everybody pray for me. I take accountability for everything that happened to me all the way back to Adam and Eve that would take away my peace. I forgive people that have enslaved my forefathers. I forgive my forefathers that enslaved people, that took away our land, took away the land of the Indians, took away the enslaved African Americans. God, we repent. And we ask you to start with Adam and Eve and let your cleansing blood flow down through our bloodline, washing away any ground Satan's had in our life through the generational iniquities of the forefathers. And I command all attention-getting spirits to get out of here in the name of Jesus. All spirits of fear, doubt, unbelief, worry, anxiety, tension, stress, nervousness, in the name of Jesus, I bind the strong man and I say, get out of every person in this room now in the name of Jesus. All spirits of insomnia, all spirits of sleeplessness, restlessness, anxiety, tension, stress, nervousness, hyperactivity, unrest in Jesus' name.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.